of welcome to our gospel evening service tonight. And this is a special service, of course, as we mark the ministry of the Reverend Park having been 25 years here in our congregation at Hebron, and give thanks to him, or give thanks to the Lord for all that he has done for us here during those 25 years. Now, I have a couple of apologies tonight, maybe we'll begin with that. A couple of people who would love to have been with us, but unfortunately are unable to make it. First of all, from the Reverend Lyle and Mrs. Boyd, and they say, "We are sorry that we are unable to be with you tonight. We'd just like to say how very much we appreciated the Reverend David Park's interest in missionary work down through the years, and his great vision for the lost across the world. His example and steadfastness has always been an encouragement to us, and we pray that the Lord would continue to strengthen his endeavour in the work of the Lord." And he has at the bottom of his message that verse in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." And we have another apology as well from the Reverend David Smith, and he says, "I wish I could be with you to express our congratulations to the Reverend Park on his 25th anniversary. His zeal and enthusiasm for God's work is an example and source of encouragement to us in Christ's cause. That he has completed 25 years in the same pulpit deserves recognition. We trust that the special meetings organised will be a means of encouragement to him, his wife Susan, and the family. Please express these thoughts at your meeting if at all possible. Yours in Christ's name, David and Gloria Smith." Now, I'd like you to turn in your order of service to our first hymn. And while you're doing that, could I just draw your attention to the pages at the back of the order of service. You'll see that there is a little overview of the Reverend Park's life and his ministry here in Hebron. Now, those of you who will know our session and committee will know that this wasn't put together by us. If you're aware of our spelling and our grammar, you would know that this is not the work of our session and committee. But we would like to acknowledge Karen's work in doing this. Karen Hegarty has put this together, and where there's anything of a literary nature to be done, we always go to Karen. So Karen, I would just like to say thank you for putting this little overview together. Let's now turn and our opening praise. "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean."
Thank you.
was good singing, despite the out-of-sync PowerPoints, but at least you had your order of service, so you didn't get lost completely. We're now going to ask one of our elders, Jonathan, Mr. Jonathan McCauley, if he would come and open our meeting tonight in prayer.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we just bow humbly before Thee tonight. We thank Thee, Lord, for the access we have into Thy holy presence through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for the cross work of our Savior. We thank You, Lord, for that finished work. And, O Lord, as we come even tonight, we thank You, Lord, for that great invitation that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved is still open tonight. We thank You, Lord, for this place. We thank You for this church. We thank You, Lord, for a denomination that takes a stand for Thee. And, O Lord, as we come to Thee tonight, we thank You for this day in Thy house, this special day, this day of anniversary, whenever even we mark the 25 years of faithful service of our pastor. We thank You for him. We thank You, Lord, for the day that You called him. We thank You for the day that You saved him. And we thank You, Lord, even for the day whenever he met his wife, Mrs. Park. We thank You for bringing them to Ballymoney. No, God, we thank You for the work that has gone on here over many years. We thank You for souls that have been saved. We thank You, Lord, for giving to our pastor the heart of an evangelist. We thank You, Lord, for the zeal that He has to see men and women and boys and girls won for Christ. And, O Lord, we thank You, Lord, for even that missionary vision that You've given to him, even in the homeland here and Ballymoney and even the surrounding district. And yet, Lord, we think especially tonight, Lord, of the zeal and the passion that our pastor has for souls across the far-flung corners of the earth. We thank You, Lord, for the work He has done faithfully in the Missionary Council and even in the Mission Board. And, O Lord, much of that work will go on notice, but, Lord, You've marked it, You've seen it, and You've blessed it. O God, we just pray that in the many years that lie before us, Lord, that You will bless our time together as a church, bind us together. We pray, Lord, that You will even unite us, Lord, to be up and doing for Thee. And, O Lord, we just pray for this meeting. We thank You for how You have blessed even in this day and how You have blessed Reverend Armstrong in the morning service. And we just pray for our clerk of presbytery tonight. We thank You for Reverend Greer. We thank You for the talents and the gifts You have given to him. And, O Lord, we pray tonight, Lord, You would take him and You'd fill him with Thy Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, tonight that the hush of eternity might rest upon this meeting. We pray, Lord, You'll pour out Thy Holy Spirit here tonight. And, O Lord, what an end to this day it would be to see some soul coming and putting their faith and trust in Thee. So, Lord, continue with us, abide with us, even prepare the way, do us good, Lord, and we'll be careful to give Thee all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for it's in Thy name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you, Jonathan. Now, we've come to that part where, as Mervyn said this morning, none of us enjoy doing the announcements, but we're going to ask our brother Phil to come and do the announcements, and just after he has made the announcements, he's going to make some presentations as well. And then following that, we're going to have the Reverend Park say a few words to us. You know, on Thursday night, he was asking me a lot of questions about what was happening, and he didn't know what was going on. And one of the things he said, will I be able to say anything? So you are going to get an opportunity to say something in just a few moments. Phil.
Well, can we bid you one and all a warm and a friendly word of welcome to our gospel service this evening. We trust that the Lord will bless us as we gather together as a congregation. And as we remember the 25 years of faithful service that the Reverend Park has given to the fellowship here, we want to welcome the Reverend Greer and also the Reverend Harris, the Reverend Gray, and many other pastors who have gathered with us this evening in support of the Reverend Park. On Tuesday, we have our Youth Challenge meeting at 7 p.m. It's the final Youth Challenge of the year, and prizes and selection boxes will be distributed to the boys and girls. Thursday is our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. Commences at 8 p.m. And we've been dealing with the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the will of the Lord, our pastor will be along to preach on that occasion. And there will be a special time of prayer for the Christian school. Friday evening is our Hebron Christmas dinner. It's being held in the McRoboy House Hotel. We need to gather together at 6 p.m. for a sitting at 6:30, and health and safety measures will be in place. The hotel requires the wearing of masks when entering and leaving the premises, and those attending are encouraged to sit in their family bubbles. On Saturday, we have our open-air witness in the town at 11 a.m., and again, we would encourage as many as possible to join with us as we take the glorious message of the gospel to the people of Ballymoney. Next Lord's Day, we commence with our early morning prayer meeting at 8 a.m. The Sabbath school is at 10:30. The Bible class also at 10:30. And Mervyn, in the month of December, will be dealing with the doctrine of the Incarnation. And then the worship service will be led by the Reverend Park, dealing with meditations in the Gospel of Mark. Family service at 7 p.m., and again, in the will of the Lord, our pastor will be with us. The evening service is preceded by a time of prayer, which will commence at 6:15. We want to give our sincere sympathies as a congregation to Mr. and Mrs. Robin Miller on the death of Robin's mother-in-law, Annie King. We also extend our sympathy to the Glasgow family. James's mother has gone to be with the Lord, and our sympathy is with James, Doreen, and the rest of the family circle. We also extend our sympathy to the Blair family on the death of Joe Blair, who passed away earlier today. We want to thank you for your tithes and gifts and offerings for the Lord's work here in Hebron, and the missionary outreach envelopes will be collected next Lord's Day. If you haven't received your 70th anniversary pens, then they are available, and please avail of one of these as you leave the church this evening. Please remember those sick and needy amongst us within the congregation, that the Lord might raise them, each one, to a full measure of health and of strength. Those of us who know and love the Reverend Park well know that today's service will not be easy for him. You see, he's one who often is sitting in the driving seat here in the fellowship. And on occasions, he has his foot on the brake. But this evening, he's a passenger. And as a congregation, we're taking our brother for a ride through his life. I want to take just a few moments to make a few comments in relation to our beloved pastor. The Reverend Park, as we have suggested, is the longest serving minister that the congregation has had here in Hebron throughout our 70 years history. As office bearers, we were very conscious that 25 years is indeed a milestone for any man's ministry. But when that man has served 25 years consistently feeding the flock of God in one congregation, then it's more than worthy of being acknowledged and recognized by those who have sat under his faithful ministry. The office bearers were all in agreement. We wanted to recognize God's goodness to us as a congregation, and to pay tribute to our pastor for his devotion to duty, for his faithfulness to this fellowship. On a lighter note, I also was looking through the programme this evening. When you came here 25 years ago, Pastor Park, as Mervyn made reference to earlier today, you had a lovely head of hair. He said it was ginger. I thought it was brown in those days. Mervyn told me that you also had your own set of teeth when you came to us 25 years ago. But we are so thankful to God for you, Pastor. You have a sense of humor. You laugh when we laugh. And you weep when we weep. On a serious note, we have been so blessed as a congregation. As I was thinking through the week of this very service, a question came into my head. What would any congregation want in a pastor? And some of the thoughts that ran through my head was this: a pastor who really knows and loves the Lord. Someone who has a passion for the souls of men and a real burden for the lost. I would want a pastor who is enthusiastic in the things of God and who seeks to serve the Savior with not less than his all. An always abounding pastor. Someone who is always abounding in the work of the Lord. My ideal pastor would be someone who has a sincere interest in the children of the congregation and can relate to them on a one-to-one. A pastor who would be a source of encouragement to the youth of the fellowship and who regularly challenges them often in relation to a surrendered life to Christ. A faithful pastor is someone who never forgets the sacrifices of those seniors within the fellowship who were so instrumental in establishing the work during the early days. What else would you and I look for in a pastor? Perhaps someone who's missionary-minded, who has a real burden for those less fortunate than ourselves. A true pastor with an evangelistic ministry who can edify, who is earnest, and who is so encouraging to others. A man full of compassion and understanding. A man of great wisdom. A friend who will rejoice when you and I rejoice, and who will come alongside us in those dark moments that all of us had from time to time, and will weep when we weep. The more that I thought of the qualities and attributes of a faithful minister of the gospel, the more I came to realize, Pastor Park, that you tick all these boxes and far more. Beyond question, your love for the Lord is contagious. So contagious that it has truly had a bearing upon all of us who have the pleasure to sit under your ministry. I personally consider it a great honor and privilege to work alongside you, brother. But I have to say that sometimes we are out of breath trying to keep up with you. I'm sure I speak for all of us when I say that you have been an inspiration. An inspiration to us all, and furthermore, you continue to be an influence for God and an influence for good in all of our lives. We therefore salute you for your faithfulness and for your service, not only to the Lord, but also to we as a congregation. We are so blessed to have you as our pastor, and we trust that the Lord will give you a fresh cutting edge to your ministry as you now embark upon the next 25 years. We do have a few presentations which we would like to make, and if I could ask the Reverend Park to join us at the lectern for a few moments, please. We thought to ourselves, what can we get the man who seems to have everything? The Reverend Park is a gadget man, so anything he needs to enhance the cause of Christ, he already has. However, we are very aware of the love that you had, brother, for the late John Curry, a former ruling elder within the work here at Hebron. We are so thankful that his dear wife, Anna, has allowed us to take one of his photographs, which was commissioned some time ago, and to have it mounted and framed personally for you. And so it gives me great pleasure to present you with this, the Reverend Park, presented to the Reverend Park on the 28th of November, 2021. By the congregation of Hebron Free Presbyterian Church to mark 25 years of faithful service. And of course, it has your favorite text, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Very nice. You know where it is, yeah? That's my favorite house.
Whilst the congregation this evening will have the opportunity before God to give as the Lord leads of their own love gift to you, nonetheless, the office bearers of this church would like us to pass on this gift, which is, brother, but a small token of the high esteem in which we hold you and your family. I think we can give a round of applause to our
guests. That's the first time I've shaken hands in a year.
Before we give you the floor, brother, we also want to recognize that behind every good man, my wife tells me, there is a fantastic woman. We're very conscious that Mrs. Park has throughout these past 25 years been there at your side, and she has given way to the folks in this congregation time and time again to the demands placed upon you. Your plans as a family have oftentimes been disrupted because of the work and witness here in Hebron. Yet we recognize and we appreciate your faithfulness as being a pastor's wife and being at his side as a source of strength. We would therefore like to call upon you, Mrs. Park, to come forward and receive a gift from our dear sister, Aline McCauley, as a token of the high esteem and love which we have for you as a congregation. If Aline and if Mrs. Park can come forward, please. In closing, before I hand the lectern to the Reverend Parker, who I'm sure would like to say a few words this evening, we want to say, brother, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless.
Thank you very much, Phil. It's not very often that a minister gets to attend his memorial service. Today has felt very much like that. I was asked by my daughter yesterday and by my wife this morning, are you excited? And it wasn't the feeling that I had. It was more I'm kind of nervous because I didn't really know what was before me. But it's very kind of the office bearers to organize this special day. And as I've listened, I thought everyone was speaking about somebody else. And that's not a false sense of humility. I am undeserving, but I want to thank you for the very kind words that have been spoken from everyone, including my son David. We heard that this morning. I have said to folks that if anything has been accomplished, if any life has been touched, it has been through the Lord himself, because all I am is an instrument in his hand. This is a year of celebration, a year of anniversaries. 70 years ago, the Free Church commenced, and 70 years ago, Cabra stroke Ballymoney also commenced. 45 years ago was the time when we had a remarkable visitation of God here in the 76th Mission, when many of you were converted to Christ. 15 years ago, this beautiful building was open to the glory of God. For me personally, 40 years ago, I entered Bible college. I'm as old as Mr. Gray. He entered the same time, but we're able to say we went as teenagers. I always like to put that in if you're trying to work out how old we really are. 35 years ago, I was ordained to the Christian ministry. 25 years ago, I came to Ballymoney. Now, we, Eva Fletcher, told her dad this morning that she was so excited in attending the 100th anniversary of the Reverend Park. She must have really thought that the change in the hair made me very, very old. I could never have imagined on the 5th of December 1996 that I would be in Ballymoney 25 years later. We're almost 4 years in Oulton Broad and just about 7 years in Port of Ogie. I could never have imagined how pastor and people would gel so well together for this period of time during a quarter of a century. I could never have imagined either the many blessings God would be pleased to give to this congregation during these years, despite any burdens that we had to bear. Sinners that were converted to Christ, and many of you here tonight personally are my joy and my delight as a spiritual children. The Apostle Paul, when writing to the church at Thessalonica, he said, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? Indeed, you are our glory and joy." I think of days of visitation when God himself came down, seasons of revival and quickening that we have been blessed with, special prayer times that the congregation has enjoyed, and missionary weekends that have become synonymous with the congregation here, from the Cabra days when God was pleased to call young people into Christian service. No minister could ask for a better congregation. Need to be very careful because I think there's Port of Ogie people here tonight. But I do mean that. A praying church, a godly people, members who fear the Lord and seek to walk with God, godly elders and deacons who work together as God intended, an evangelistic church a missionary-minded church, a young people who come with us on outreach, including to the mission field. And some of my most joyous times have been with our young people serving the Lord in various parts of the world. God has enabled us to put up these beautiful facilities that we now enjoy. He has gifted us with talented musicians and choirs and singers. He has given faithful Sunday school teachers and children's workers, youth workers, a hard-working media team, laborers in every department of the work, from the juniors to the seniors. He has raised up laborers from this congregation and sent them across the world. He has touched lives in recent months and years, and we thank God for the students that we have studying the Word in Bible College, and we pray the Lord will bless them in the future. And this is all the Lord's doing. And we say tonight, to God be the glory. I have men in my ministry who have been my colleagues, my encouragers, my fellow laborers, my counselors, and my guides, men that I look up to and admire. A couple of them particularly are with the Lord today, and I think of Dr. Alan Kearns and the influence that he's been in my life. I think of the Reverend Kenneth Elliott, who was my pastor. He also is in glory. Dr. John Douglas, who was with us this morning, the Reverend James Beggs, who has returned this evening, these senior men. So if Eva thought I was 100 years celebrating, these men are into the 200 years of their pilgrimage. Think of Dr. Bill Woods, has had a great influence in my life. We've had the privilege of going to Brazil on three occasions. Reverend John Gray, that's here tonight. We grew up together, served the Lord together, preached in gospel missions together, went to Bible College together. He was my best man, I was his best man, and everything has worked out all right to this day, and we're still very good and close friends. Reverend Ian Harris, good to see you, brother, tonight. Samuel Beattie, the clerk of session from Port of Ogie, is here. I think of past elders of this congregation, like our brother Albert and Nevin and John Curry, whose name has been mentioned tonight. I think of Jim Hegarty. We could put him in there too, along with the rest. Moderators and friends, the moderator that preached this morning, the former moderator that's preaching tonight. These men have all been influential and had an impact upon my life. I value the fellowship of our mission board members under the leadership of the Reverend Harris and our brother Alistair, who is our treasurer, the Missionary Council members, and we think of John and Rosemary there, who are the office bearers in the Missionary Council. Think of others that have come through and they've been part of this congregation for a little while, like the Reverend Brown and the Reverend Anderson. Good to have Brother Dennis Lyle tonight, just introducing a wee bit of the Baptist flavor to the meeting. But Brother, we value your fellowship also. 25 years is a long time if you have had a bad marriage, but 25 years is a short time if you've had a good marriage and a blessed one. And our marriage, as pastor and people, has been good, and these years have flown past so quickly. I'm not quite 60 years just yet, but I'm fully aware that my days are mostly spent. I trust spent well in the service of the Lord, whom I love and I seek to serve with all my heart. It's a joy to serve Christ, and the love of Christ constrains me. If it pleases God to grant me more years of ministry, I pray that I will be faithful, that I will be passionate, energetic, loving, like my Savior, and in the text that I love so much, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I pay tribute to the office bearers of this church who have labored together for the glory of God, for the good of the congregation, and in support of their pastor. I've felt that. And to you, Phil, and to the other members of the session, you've been a tower of strength to me, and I mean that from the bottom of my heart. And you've been that in all times. You've been like Aaron and Hur, holding up the preacher's hands. You've supported me, prayed for me, stood with me, and upheld me. Thank you in the Saviour's name. And likewise, the good deacons of this church want to thank you for being men of God, for your faithful prayers and support. I will never forget those prayers that prayer meetings that you had when I got a call to another congregation, those prayer meetings that I felt I couldn't attend. But you men prayed every Sunday night after the gospel meeting for quite some time. Not that your pastor would stay, but that the will of God would be done in his life. I paid tribute to my wife and family who have been there in full support of my ministry. I have no greater joy than to see my children and now the grandchildren walking in truth and being involved in God's work. And you'll see something in the wee order of service about that. It's good to have them laboring for Christ in this house. Daughter Joanna couldn't be here today. She's very much part of the church, but there's sickness in the family. Seemed to be a vomiting bug going around, and so she apologizes not being here. Susan has been my delight and my joy, my helpmeet, my best friend for 36 years of marriage, and I thank her for her loyalty, her love, her steadfastness, and putting up with all my quirky ways. You mightn't think that I have quirky ways, but you want to ask her, and she'll be able to tell you. Coming with me on mission trips when we could have gone on holiday elsewhere, but we said that's a kind of a holiday for us as well. And I couldn't have been gifted by God with a better helpmeet in my ministry. And most of all, as I come to finish, I pay a tribute to Almighty God for his unfailing love, faithfulness, mercy, and grace to a very faltering servant who has failed and come short many times, but he has remained faithful. My testimony is reflected in the words of the Apostle Paul when standing before King Agrippa in Acts 26, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. And I finish with my text. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thank you for coming, for friends that are here, the friends that I can see close up to the front, they're special to me, extended family members as well. Thank you to the congregation. We love you in the Lord, and for the very kind gifts, we'll treasure these things. Thank you in the Savior's name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Park. Thank you, Phil. And thank you, Aline. Now, if you were with us at our morning worship service this morning, you will know that we had a short video presentation featuring the work that the Reverend Park is involved in here in Hebron. But all of you will know that the Reverend Park's labours extend far beyond Ballymoney and beyond this congregation. And so tonight we have a short video presentation, providing I can get it to work here, of his involvement mainly in missionary work. And so we're going to watch that just now.
David, I would like to send you sincere greetings in Christ and hearty congratulations as you mark 25 years of faithful gospel ministry in the congregation in Hebron in Ballymoney. On behalf of our mission board and missionary council, we also recognise during your one quarter of a century in Hebron your tremendous contribution to the wider missionary endeavour of our denomination. as Secretary of the Mission Board and as Chairman of the Missionary Council. We thank God for your consecration and your commitment to the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, and your compassion and your commitment has been the means of God bringing untold blessings to many souls, both on the home and foreign mission field. And we pray that in the days ahead that the Lord will continue to pour out his blessing upon you. May you and Susan and the whole family circle know days of blessing from God's right hand. I'm reminded of that lovely hymn of Joseph Hart as we mark this anniversary, that we'll praise him for all that is past and we'll trust him for all that's to come. Amen.
Greetings to you all and many, many congratulations to Reverend and Mrs. Park on completing 25 years in Ballymoney. You have been a tremendous encouragement to me, and I thank God for your life and testimony, your abilities and energy, and your compassion and zeal. You have not only preached to us, but you have been a living example of the believers, in word and conversation, in charity and in spirit, in faith and in purity. I wish you God's richest blessing and many more prosperous years in the work.
I'm sure as you think back over the 25 years, there are many memories, some of no doubt that bring sorrow and sadness and grief, but also those that bring great joy. And as I think about you, brother, I thought to myself, well, what can I say? And of course, in true preacher style, there were three E's that came to mind. So I thought first of all about you being earnest. Brother, in all that you do, you are earnest. And your example was one of being earnest to me in my early years as a Christian. You're also evangelistic, whether it be locally or in the foreign field. No one could charge you with any accusation of not being evangelistic and having a heart for souls. And thirdly, you are enjoyable. Now that may seem like a strange thing to say, but I have been around enough men in ministry to be around those that are always doom and gloom, and they're always negative and pessimistic, and they have no sense of what God is going to do, and there isn't even that sense of spark of joy and happiness. But that is not the case with you. You've always been enjoyable to be around. Brother, I thank the Lord upon every remembrance of you. I trust that you will know much of the Spirit's help as you continue your ministry. God will help you and enable you to see even greater things done for his glory. God bless.
Saludos en el nombre del Señor Jesucristo. Mr. Park, at this time we want to really thank the Lord for how he has used you in our lives and also for how he has used you in the ministry in Hebron. When we arrived as a family in Ballymoney in year 2014, you welcomed us with great love. You helped us in so many different ways, and we never felt left out. It was a joy to be under your ministry. Then also the Lord used you greatly as I was thinking of going to college. I remember you coming to our house and reading Psalm 25, which says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." You told us to trust the Lord, and you even came with us when we went to meet the principal of the college. Also then, in my last year, of course, as I was able to do home mission there in Ballymoney, and it was a great joy for me to do this, but I also learned a lot from you. And it was in that year when the Lord used you in his strange providence to mention to us about the work here in Cortijos and also to put us in contact with the Reverend Boyd. So you have a great part in us being here in Spain and even here in Cortijos Nuevos.
I finished... knew the Park family when they lived in Portavogue, so that's over 25 years. And during those long years, I've been blessed by his ministry, encouraged and helped by himself personally. And of course, his great interest in missionary work brought him to Brazil and to the Amazon 3 times. On the first visit, we went for 2 hours on a very bumpy road to send them out of there, and then we travelled down the river by boat, visiting different Christian people and people that I would be treating for leprosy. On the way back, we stopped at a house where we had a service. We called the neighbours all in to have a gospel meeting. The owner of that house at the end of the meeting came to know the Lord. On the second visit to Brazil, we went back to the same area and found that that man who trusted the Lord was still going on and also had been a member of the church. So he left fruit behind him in Brazil that's still going on. My congratulations. I hope you have another 25 years of fruitful ministry. And may the Lord bless you.
Now, John chapter 1 verse 6 tells us there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Who was John? Well, he was a preacher. He was a preacher sent from God. He was a preacher who preached Christ in the community to which he was called. He was a preacher who had an undeniable impact upon those to whom he ministered. There was a man sent to Judea whose name was John. And yet I believe that we can say with certainty that there was a man sent from God to Balamoni. His name wasn't John, it was David. I thank my God for sending the Reverend Park into my life. I haven't been around all 25 years. I am only 26. But the impact of his ministry upon me has been great, life-changing. It was through his faithful preaching that I was pointed to the Lord in salvation as a teenager. And then throughout his ministry, I was discipled, educated, taught, and later called of God into the ministry. His godly example of Christian service is one I admire. From the children's work to the mission field, he leads from the front. His wise counsel and undeniable wisdom has proved invaluable to me over the years. I can describe him in many ways, but what more can I say that the Reverend Park is indeed a man sent from God? I can't boast that I've known him the longest. I haven't. But I've known him the fullest. I've known him as my minister. I've known him as my mentor. I've known him as a colleague under our presbytery in the work of God. And yet I've also known him as a family member. I've known him as my father-in-law. I've known him as the grandfather to my children. And what I can say is that he is a Christ-like man sent from God.
Congratulations, Reverend Park, as you mark 25 years of service at Hebron. We are very happy for you and are thankful to the Lord for all the ways you lead, guide, and care for us. We thank you for your ministry and pray to God that he will make you mighty in the Holy Scriptures, and that he would continue to enable you to give yourself to prayer and to the ministry of his word. May you be thoroughly furnished for every good work and be led to greater heights for Christ's sake.
I trust you enjoyed that short video, but it does go to prove how far the influence and the work of our brother actually reaches out far beyond our congregation here. Now, Reverend Park has already mentioned that under the faithful ministry of the Reverend Kenneth Elliott in our Portadown congregation, there's a number of young men felt called to serve the Lord, some in the ministry, some on the mission field. Our pastor, of course, was one of those. Another is the Reverend John Gray, who is with us tonight. And we're delighted that he is able to be here, and he is going to come as someone who is knowing the Reverend Park better than most. He's going to come and bring a personal tribute. Brother Gray.
In Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, it says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." I believe those words fully describe the life and testimony of the Reverend David Park when it comes to the Lord's work. Our brother never does anything half-heartedly. He always puts his 110% into it. And we pay tribute to our brother this evening, and we pray that the Lord will give him many more years of faithful labor in this house and in the days that lie ahead. Now, I've been asked to say a few words about the missions that we used to have together. But the Reverend Park and I go back even further than that, because we grew up in Bethany together in our church in Portadown, and we taught in the Sunday school, we helped out in the children's meetings, we went out on outreach together. Indeed, in those days when we were first saved, more years than maybe we want to remember sometimes, we went about seeking to serve the Lord to the best of our ability. Now, one of the outreaches that was very successful in those days was an outreach that the Reverend Park and myself sought to bring children into the Sunday school. Now, I think this was actually Mr. Park's idea. Bethany Sunday School at that time was 400 plus, and that wasn't including the Bible class with another 60 or 70 young people in it. But the Craigavon area where Mr. Park lived and grew up at that time was heaving with children. And our brother David had a desire to reach these children for the Lord. So on a Saturday morning, both him and I used to go out after we had a time of prayer together to seek to reach the children, to invite them into the Sunday school in Bethany. And the Lord really blessed that effort. And I'm sure he can remember that. And such was the Lord's blessing upon that effort that Bethany had to run an extra bus out to Craigavon. Bethany ran buses everywhere in those days. Buses went to Portadown, Laurelvale, and Craigavon. And we reached that many children that they had to send another bus out to Craigavon. And that was the Lord's doing. And it was marvelous, marvelous in our eyes. Now, as far as the missions are concerned, we had many missions together. In fact, the first mission that we had together was about 40 years ago. We had missions in Castle Derg, we had missions in the Birches, we had missions in Onoughmore, we had missions in Loch Gall, we had missions in Salter's Grange outside Armagh, we had missions in Rough Island, with missions in Port of Bogie, and that's just to mention a few of them. And again, the Lord really blessed those missions. Now, if you're going to have missions, you need a tent. And we decided that we would buy a tent. We heard that the Reverend Ivan Foster had a tent. And we made contact, a tent that, by the way, he wasn't using. And when we got the tent, we realized why he wasn't using it. Because when you put it up and it started to rain, he was ever having a baptismal service in it rather than a gospel service. But we thought this tent was great. And we used it for a time, and we had a number of missions in it. And then we decided that we would buy another tent. Now, David, of course, he had the initiative as far as finding out where this new tent would come from. And he discovered that they sold tents in Liverpool, good second-hand tents in Liverpool. And he made the contact. And we decided that we would buy one of these tents, but there was a problem. And the problem was that this tent was about £3,000. And of course, in those days, not that things have changed much, but we hadn't two halfpennies to rub together. So how were we going to raise this money to buy this tent? Well, of course, David had always these good ideas, and I know he hasn't changed any. But he decided that we, and I emphasize we should go and ask Christian businessmen and Christian rich farmers to donate to this tent. And he says, right, he made out his list, and he says, right, we'll go on such and such a day. And I think my memory serves me right. I said to him, well, now you're doing the begging. I'll do the praying as you do the begging. For I thought there's not a chance the first farmyard we go into or the first businessman we talk to, he'll send us shifting very quickly. But lo and behold, the plan worked. And one man would give us £50 for this tent, another man would give us £100, another man would give us £200. And bit by bit, the money came in for the tent. And we had a prayer service as well with William McRae and many others. And the offering would go to its entirety to the tent. And in fact, we raised more money than we needed. And not only did we buy the tent, but we bought an organ. Do you remember what color the organ was? It, yes, that's right. And we had enough money to buy an organ for the tent as well. So his plan came to pass, and the Lord was so good in those missions. I could stand here the rest of the night telling you how the Lord blessed in those missions. And almost all of those missions, there were folk who were saved. There weren't hundreds, there weren't thousands, but there were ones and twos and threes and fours and sometimes five and sixes coming and trusting the Lord as their Savior. And that tent we bought, many other churches got a lend of it. And in fact, from the day we bought it, just up until a couple of years ago, it was used almost every year for gospel missions and folk were converted to Christ. Let me just give you one example of someone who got saved in those missions. Very dear to my own heart because it was my own father. One of those missions that we had in the Birches, and of course, I came from the Birches, grew up in that area, and I had a desire, as our brother David had a desire, not only for his own loved ones, but for the loved ones of others, desire to see our loved ones saved. And one night particularly, it was near the end of the mission, and my father had attended the mission a number of evenings. It was evident that he was under conviction of sin. And we'd been praying for him for 10 years. And this particular night, David preached. And I know what he preached because my father testified to it afterwards. He preached on the text, "Ye must be born again." And as he preached powerfully. The Lord really came down into that meeting that night. And I believed that my father would get saved at the end of the meeting. The appeal went out. He never came forward. And he never got saved that night. David actually spoke to him after the meeting was over and pleaded with him to come to Christ. But he didn't. But he testified later that that was the meeting when the Lord really spoke to him. The text spoke to him in such a way because when he was a child, in his bedroom, he had this text above his bed, "You must be born again." And of course, the Lord used that to really drive home the message that our brother, Mr. Park, was preaching that night. But about a week later, my dad phoned me. We were living in Belfast at the time. My dad was in Portadown, and he wanted to get saved. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and of course, when you get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning, you say, "What's wrong? Who's dead? What's happened?" But it was my dad on the end of the phone, wanted to get saved, and we had the joy of leading him to the Lord. So I owe so much to the faithful preaching of God's servant. What a joy that was. We found out in those early gospel missions that the preaching of the gospel was a savor of life unto life. And thank God it still is. And the Lord has blessed our brother's ministry down through the years. And even in recent years, thank God, the end is not yet, and the best is still to be. And the Lord is still saving souls. But also we found out in those early missions that the gospel was also a savor of death unto death. I just finish with this. We had two gospel missions in Rough Island. Again, it was at the time when the Reverend Park was in Ardara, and he had this burden to have these missions in Rough Island. And the Lord most definitely laid those missions upon his heart. The first year we had the mission, we put up that small tent that we got from Kilskerry, and there was a number of people saved. We would preach night about, of course. And in that first mission, there was a number of people saved. The man that lent us the ground for that mission was not saved, and his dwelling house was only 50 yards away from where we were having the mission in the tent. He never came into the mission, that first mission we had. He never came in one night. He wouldn't come in. He refused to come in. The following year, we went back to the very same spot. The man was gracious enough again to lend us the field, and we preached for the second year running. The strange thing is, the second mission, no one got saved, not that we know of. No one came to Christ. And yet, at the second mission, the man that lent us the ground, the man that didn't come in to the mission the first year, he came in quite often to the second mission. Came in quite often. And in the last night of the mission, the numbers grew so big. And when I say big, we're talking about 80 or 90 or 100 people. We invited Dr. Paisley to come and preach the last night of the mission. And we realized that the tent wasn't going to be big enough. So we asked the farmer, the man that owned the field, would he lend us his barn? There was a barn nearby. We cleared out the barn. We put in chairs. We got a bit of heating in it. Dr. Paisley preached that night, as only Dr. Paisley can preach. There was a real sense of the Lord's presence. And he made the appeal, and no one came out. No one came out. And the sad reality is this. There was two men in that mission that night. Two men that were unsaved. One was the farmer who lent us the field. A few weeks later, they both died. Those two men died in very tragic circumstances. And indeed, one of the men was shot by the IRA in Rough Island Street. He was a member of the security forces. A savor of life unto life, a savor of death unto death. But we thank God for the privilege of being here tonight. There's so much else we could say. We could spend all night telling of incidences. When we first went to Bethany, the Reverend Park, he passed his driving test. And he used to drive about in his sister's car. It was a blue Datsun. Isn't that right? It was a blue Datsun, Pauline, wasn't it? If his sister had known how he drove that car, he would never have got into it. Because when Pauline drove the car, it was never over 40 miles an hour. But when he drove the car, it was never under 40 mile an hour. But we had some good times. If that car could only have talked, it could have told some stories. But we have many, many precious, precious memory. Mr. Park, God bless you. It's a joy to have known you. You and Susan, may the Lord bless you and your family continually as you continue to serve the Lord. And who knows, maybe before the Lord brings us home to heaven, we'll have some more missions together. I would like that. God bless you.
Thank you, Reverend Gray, for bringing that tribute to the Reverend Park, that personal tribute. Now, all of the hymns that we have been singing today in both our services have been favourites of the Reverend Park. And the next one is one that is a favourite of the congregation here, and I would almost dare to say that it is his most favourite. When peace like a river attendeth my way. We sing that often here, and it's a wonderful hymn of testimony. And the chorus says, "It is well with my soul." What a statement of testimony that is. I wonder tonight, can you say, "It is well with your soul"? Not that it is well with you physically, not that it is well with you financially, but is it well with your soul? As we sing the words of this hymn, I want you to think on that thought. Let's join together and sing this wonderful hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll.
Thank you.
apologies, but we had 4 verses on the order of service, but just 3 verses on the PowerPoint. Now, this morning, we really enjoyed the Hebron Choir as they ministered to us. It was the first time in 2 years that they had come together to sing to us, and it was a tremendous blessing as they sang the piece to us this morning. But you know, someone else who has been a very important part of the music ministry here in Hebron is our sister Rebecca Park, and we've really enjoyed her coming and singing to us over the years. And of course, she is part of the Park family. She's the Reverend Park's daughter-in-law, his only daughter-in-law, but that's a title she's going to have to relinquish pretty soon. But Rebecca, we're delighted to have you tonight, and we're going to ask you to come and sing to us now.
Justice has been satisfied. He will hold me fast. Raised with him to endless life. He will hold me fast. Till our faith is turned to sight. When he comes at last, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast.
Thank you, Rebecca, for bringing that message and song to us tonight. Now, one of the blessings that we have in the Free Presbyterian Church in Ulster here is to have neighbouring congregations. This is something that our sister denomination, for example, in North America, doesn't enjoy. But we have congregations all around us, and the congregation here in Ballymoney has always had a special affinity with the congregation in Ballymena. And we were delighted when this morning and again tonight, the minister emeritus of that congregation, the Reverend Beggs, and his wife were able to join with us. The Reverend Beggs was the interim moderator here in Ballymoney whenever the Reverend Park received a call to the congregation. And tonight we have with us as well the now minister of the congregation, the Reverend Greer, and we're delighted that he is able to be with us. He's a good friend and colleague to the Reverend Park, and he's going to come now and bring us God's word. And Mrs. Greer, you're very welcome too.
I think my wife thought she was going to be called up there too. I want to thank Brother Wesley for his words of welcome to the pulpit here tonight, and also can I thank the session for inviting me to share in this meeting, coming along to preach the Word of God, and I certainly count that to be a great honour and privilege. Being part of the service here on this occasion. And as I stand in the pulpit and direct a few remarks to Mr. Park, I want to say to you, Mr. Park, that I bring you congratulations on reaching this milestone in your ministry here in Ballymoney, in this congregation of Hebron. And it's a joy to be here tonight to mark the occasion with you and share in the meeting and the preaching of God's word. Our brother was referring to the time when he came into the college to study for the ministry, and Mr. Gray was in that group as well, and quite a few other people. One of them was mentioned here tonight, and that's the Reverend David Smith. I don't know whether you men remember this or not. I think you probably do. But whenever I was called to go to Pennsylvania, I had been teaching in the college for a few years, and on my last class with the students, and these two men were part of that class, I think Mrs. Gray was there too, that's right, and she was Miss Arlene Webster in those days, but I asked the Reverend David Smith to close in prayer at the end of the class, which is a normal procedure quite often in college classes. And he prayed, I'm not sure what else he prayed, but he said this, thank you, Lord, for calling Mr. Greer to America. And I was actually killing myself trying to keep from laughing, standing at the front, and I knew the students were just bursting to laugh. And so whenever he said amen, he looked up and his face was very, very red. He realized what he had prayed. And the other men, as I say, were just dying to get that emotion of laughter out. And so, I don't know what I said, but I looked at David Smith and kind of smiled at him. And everybody burst into laughter. And that was my final class. And what a send-off that was. So, I have that memory. And it's good to be here tonight. And I thank the Lord for the Reverend Park and for our friendship. And there are various times when we talk together about the Lord's work and about matters that we have to consider in serving Christ. And it's good to therefore be here tonight to share in this meeting. Now, the hour is late, and we have a few Ballymena people here who know the pressure I'm always under when I try to preach, because I always find my time runs out. And I haven't even got started yet, and I'm not sure what to do. But one thing I'm very glad about, and that is the Lord confirmed that I was at the right passage, which I want to turn you to, because Mr. Park actually quoted it in his own remarks. And that's from Acts 26. And I want you to turn there, please, and we will read a few verses. Acts 26, and the words that he used in making his remarks at one point are the words that the Lord laid upon my heart in a very clear fashion. Brother Phil Moffat phoned me, said that the session here had come together. They had talked about this meeting, and they had asked Phil to phone me if I would be the preacher here this evening. And immediately, almost, the Lord brought this before me. In Acts 26, verse 22, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue on to this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles." And we know the Lord will bless the reading of these two verses. Could we just have a little word of prayer before we come to look at them? Heavenly Father, we pray that thou wilt remember us now as we have thy word open before us and we come to this point in the meeting of bringing the word that thou hast laid upon this heart. Pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless it to every soul, especially to the soul of thy servant, his wife, his family. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt draw very near in the closing part of this meeting, and may our Savior be glorified, and may his name be praised. We ask this for Christ's sake and for God's eternal praise. Amen and amen. Now, three times in the book of Acts, Paul's testimony is recorded for us. The first time is in chapter 9, where the actual event of his conversion is in view, and there Luke, the writer, gives us the details of that momentous day on the Damascus Road when Saul of Tarsus was gloriously saved by the grace of God. The second and the third instances of Paul's testimony are in chapters 22 and 26, respectively, where the record is of the apostle himself telling various groups of how he was delivered from the darkness of his own religious state and brought into the glorious liberty of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here in chapter 26, the apostle is in Caesarea. He's imprisoned for his own safety, and then he's summoned to testify before King Agrippa in the court of Festus, who was the Roman governor of Judea. The climax of his witness before Agrippa is presented in these two verses, 22 and 23, as far as referring to his own ministry is concerned. And he makes this statement, "I continue on to this day witnessing." The word in the original language for that verb continue really means to continue to stand. It is sometimes translated to be steadfast or standing fast in the faith, like 1 Corinthians 16:13 or Galatians 5 and verse number 1. And so Paul, therefore, is really saying in these words, "I stand fast unto this day." Right up to that moment where he is face to face with Agrippa, the apostle Paul had continued and had stood firm in the things of God and in his experience of the grace of God. But he especially focuses on this matter of witnessing. He says here, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue, I stand fast unto this day witnessing." And there's a lot in that in itself as we think about the word witnessing and what it means. And I have not time to go into any detail at this stage. Just for time's sake, I want to leave that all aside and get right down to what the verses themselves bring before us about witnessing. But we can say this, that what Paul refers to here, "I stand unto this day witnessing," I believe is a very succinct and a very apt summary of the ministry of the Reverend David Park. And as we meet tonight on this occasion for the purpose of remembering his 25 years as the minister of this congregation, and then of course we think of the time before that when he ministered in other places, we are thankful to the Lord that these words have a relevance. I stand on to this day, or I continue on to this day, witnessing. And I trust, Mr. Park, that as I look at these words with you and the congregation tonight, that the Lord will bless them to your soul. A lot has been said tonight. I endorse all that has been said in terms of our brother's labors and all that he has accomplished in serving in the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't need to say any more. I've expressed my own personal congratulations. What I want to do now in the remainder of the time that's afforded to us is simply draw your attention to a few matters, a few thoughts about Paul continuing to witness until that very day that's in view in this statement. We have here the framework of his witness, because in verse 22 he says this, I continue on to this day witnessing. Then he says this, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And it's there that you have the framework of the apostle's witness, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And so the witness that the Apostle Paul had made and was continuing to make at this very moment, because remember, the whole way through this chapter, he is doing this very thing. He's witnessing. He's witnessing to Festus and to Agrippa and to all who were there in that very, very august entourage who were gathered for that particular occasion. He's witnessing to them. And he can say so powerfully before their faces that I have said nothing else but what is in the Word of God. And there's the framework of the witness of a man of God, a minister of Jesus Christ. It is within the framework of the Scriptures, and actually what you have here in that language, that which the prophets and Moses did say should come, is a reference to the Old Testament. That language, Moses and the prophets, is used quite a bit in the New Testament in different places. And that's what it always means. It's just not only what Moses wrote or what the prophets as we know them wrote, but it's the entire Old Testament. That is a descriptive title for the Old Testament. And that's all they had in those days, because the New Testament is not yet written when Paul stands before Agrippa. But the point is, what he has is the Word of God. It is the Old Testament. It's what was divinely revealed by Almighty God, and therefore was the textbook for the apostle and for his colleagues as they ministered and they preached the gospel in the first century. Because the Word of God, you see, is authentic. And that's one thing that comes out here remarkably, the authenticity of the Scripture. Because he refers here to what Moses wrote and what the prophets had written, what they said should actually happen in New Testament days, their predictions, their revelation of the promises. He refers to all that. But remember something with me. What Paul had was a copy of the Old Testament Scriptures. He didn't have the writings of Moses in the sense of the original autographs. He didn't have in his hands the writings of Isaiah or any other prophet you'd care to mention. He had copies, or a copy of the Old Testament. And you see, that brings out a very interesting, a very important point. What he had, though it was a copy, was nonetheless the Word of God. And therefore, you see in that little thought, that little detail, the authenticity of the Scriptures, the authenticity of the framework that a man takes and that he uses as his sole source for his message and for his ministry. God, you see, in giving the word, and remember what Paul says to Timothy, all Scripture is God-breathed, and there are many similar terms to which we could go. All of that is the proof that the inspiration of the Word of God presupposes its preservation. And therefore, as Paul stands up before Agrippa and this whole company, he can say that what I have, though it be a copy, not the original autographs, it is nonetheless the Word of God. Because in giving the Word by inspiration, the Lord also saw to the preservation of His Word. And we thank God tonight that when we think about Mr. Park's ministry, the preaching that goes on in this house and has gone on for 25 years, he has preached none other things than those which the Old Testament and the New Testament present to us, God's special revelation. We rejoice tonight that as a denomination and as brethren in the ministry, we're not going around grasping, trying to find out what the truth is or discover the gospel. That's what men are saying today. We've got to find out what Jesus meant or what the Lord said. We've got to discover what the gospel really is. That's the speaking of liberals. That's the voice of a man who doesn't realize that God has spoken and what God has said is authentic. And we need nothing more. And you, dear people in this congregation, you thank God that you have a minister who stands week by week and who makes his appeal to the authentic Word of God. But you see, what Paul says here not only underlines the authenticity of Scripture, but it underlines the sufficiency of Scripture. He says here in these words essentially that very fact. What he's really saying is, just read the words again, saying none other things than those which Moses, the prophets and Moses did say should come. He's underlining not only the fact that he has the Word of God, it's authentic, but it's enough. I don't need anything more. And you see, that's how Christ builds his church. That's how a man's ministry is going to be effective. When there is that dependence upon the sufficiency of Scripture, that is one of the great tenets of Protestantism, of the biblical and Reformed faith, the sufficiency of the Word of God. This is what the Reformers discovered in those times when God brought them out of their own personal darkness and brought them into the liberty and the freedom of the gospel. Through the Word of God that they discovered, because it was hidden, it was held back from them by the Church of Rome. But in God's providence and in God's grace, they got the Scriptures. They began to read the Word of God. They were still struggling with their darkness and with their adherence to all of the fallacies of the papacy. But stage by stage, the Word of God came with power to their souls. And they discovered the Scripture, and they discovered the sufficiency of it. I haven't time tonight to go into that in any more detail. Those great marks of the Scripture, such as its sufficiency. You see, Paul believed in that. Only its authenticity, but its sufficiency. And that's what he's saying here in these wonderful words. And you see, Scripture, special revelation, came to its fullness in the person and work of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came into the world as the Word of God. Remember what John says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and so on. And when he uses that name, that title for Christ, he's telling us, he's revealing to us that the revelation of God, the special revelation that we have as we hold the Bible in our hands, comes to its climax in the appearance of Christ in the person of Christ and in the whole work of Jesus Christ. And therefore, what we can say tonight is that the gospel minister, yes, has that which is authentic, he has that which is sufficient. He does not need anything else, because everything that he requires in terms of all the truth that he must bring before a congregation is set before us in this book. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul, this same man, as he wrote the book of Hebrews. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, that's the Old Testament, has spoken unto us in these last days by his Son, that's the New Testament. And therefore, we have the complete Word of God. Why go anywhere else, as people are doing, churches are doing, even evangelical churches? They're casting aside the authenticity and the sufficiency of the Scriptures. But here's a man, Reverend David Park, who has faithfully proclaimed the Word of God, believing these marks of it, these great truths of it. You know what that does for him or any other minister of Jesus Christ? Well, just turn with me to 2 Timothy 4. I referred there to 2 Timothy 3, where Paul makes that statement, all Scripture is God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3. And then you move into chapter, at the end of that chapter, it says, just before I go into chapter 4, look at the end of chapter 3. All Scripture, verse 16, is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. And remember, brethren and sisters, the word doctrine simply means teaching. There's nothing to be worried about with that word doctrine. That's what people are saying today. You know, we just want the gospel. We don't want doctrine. That is nonsense. Because the gospel is doctrine. The word means teaching. And so the word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In other words, all that is needed in ministry is found within the framework of the Word of God. And it goes on to say that the man of God may be perfect or mature, thoroughly furnished or thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And then Paul says, in the wake of all that, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, etc., preach the Word. Preach the Word. That's what our brother has done. That's been the framework of his witness. And we pray that God will anoint them to keep on doing that. And you pray for your pastor, your minister, that he will be given the grace to bring forth from the Word of God things both new and old. But what is the focus of this witness? Turn back to our text. And notice what Paul goes on to say in Acts 26:23. And here you have now the focus of his witness, that Christ should suffer, that he should rise, or should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And the focus of Paul's witness was the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so Christ, you see, is the subject of the entire Bible. The subject of all Scripture, old and new. He's there in the Old Testament, in type, and in promise, and in prediction, and he set forth in all of the details of the ceremonial system. He's brought before us by the prophets. He's seen in the historical books. He's there everywhere. And especially what Paul mentions here in terms of the focus of his witness is seen everywhere. How do we sum it up? Well, you find there that the Lord's work is vicarious, that Christ should suffer. Now you're brought to Calvary. This is the message of Genesis 3:15, the first gospel promise. This is the message that you see in Noah's day. As another example, when Noah came out of the ark and he steps onto the cleansed earth, and the first thing he does is to build an altar and raise up the burnt offerings unto God. What is he doing? He is presenting the great fact that Christ will come, Christ will die, Christ will suffer, Christ will shed his blood, Christ will make the vicarious atonement. Christ will offer himself as a ransom for his people. And therefore, at the heart of all true witness, within the framework of the word, but with this special focus on Christ, there is going to be the vicarious sufferings of the Lamb as the only way for a sinner to be right with God. Christ's work is vicarious. That's the focus. But then Christ's work is vindicated. That's also in focus here. That he should be the first that should rise from the dead. What that means is that the Lord Jesus was the first to rise from the dead with an incorruptible body. Other people had risen from the dead. But the Bible says Christ is the firstfruits. All those others who rose did not rise with incorruptible bodies. The Bible tells us Christ was the first to rise with an incorruptible body. That's just by the way I say that. But the point is, here's his work vindicated. How do we know that Christ saves? How do we know that his sacrifice atones? How do we know that his blood washes us from all sin? It's because God brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. You know, in the free church, or we who are in the free church, better put it right, we're ridiculed because we preach the blood. Let me tell you, my friend, God says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And without the rising of Christ from the dead, there is no assurance that his work saves. That's where the assurance lies. God brought him from the dead. I've quoted from those words in Hebrews 13:20. But think of what they say. He brought him from the dead through. That's what it really means. Because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. Because divine justice was satisfied in the death and in the atonement. God raised him up as the signal, as the sign, as the seal that the atonement has been made, the justice of God has been satisfied, the law's stroke has been fulfilled in smiting Christ, and now there's pardon for sinners. Some may sit here tonight, and it may be for quite a while that you've been under our brother's ministry, and you've heard him preach Christ. You've heard that he has taken the Bible, opened it up, you've seen that. The framework of his witness has been the Scriptures. The focus of his witness has been Christ and him crucified and the atonement and the living, risen Christ able to save you from your sins. You know why he's preached that? Because the work of Christ is victorious. It says that essentially in those same words at the end of verse 23, and should show light unto the people, and that's the Jew. And then it says, and the Gentiles. In other words, the same message goes into all the world, to Jew and Gentile. That's why the witness is marked by victory. Christ's work is vicarious, it has been vindicated, it's victorious. And that's what saves the soul. Are you saved? As you gather here tonight to be part of this meeting. I didn't do that. What happened there? Are you saved? Are you ready to meet God? Are you trusting in the finished work? Resting in the risen Christ? Rejoicing in the light that the gospel beams forth to both Jew and Gentile? We could say something here about the fearlessness of his witness as I close. He says, witnessing to both small and great. Witnessing to small and great. Small and great, the terms are easily understood. All kinds of people, all classes of people, the insignificant, the great like Agrippa, great in the eyes of men, great because of a position. And you see, he says here how he had done this, or how, on what basis he had done this. He says, having obtained help of God. Here has been the framework of my witness. Here has been the focus of my witness. And here's the fearlessness of it. God has helped me. And that word help is a word in the original language that signifies the help of an ally. God was Paul's ally. He was right beside the apostle. He was with him in that courtroom there, that scene in this chapter, as he stands before Agrippa and Festus and all the others. That was a very daunting situation. But he says, God is my ally. He's with me. And that enabled Paul to be fearless as he preached the word of God and the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. He had a divine ally. He had divine assistance. He had obtained this help from God. And he continued fearlessly preaching right through to this moment and beyond it. There was more to come. Mr. Park, there's more to come for you as you continue on. And may God give you that fearlessness, that grace to preach the word and see much done in days ahead. And I say in closing tonight, pray for your minister as he continues to labor on in the word and in doctrine, as he continues to bear witness from this pulpit to Christ and his finished work, to Christ and his resurrection, as he endeavors by every means and every ability God gives him to send forth the glorious light of the gospel of grace. And may the Lord bless minister and people and take you forward in days to come for his glory and for his everlasting praise. And so I notice in order of service, Brother Phil's going to come and close, so I'll hand over to him, and may the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. Thank you.
Can we thank the Reverend Greer for his message and his challenge to our souls this evening? Let's just bow for prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank thee for the word of God, which is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We do indeed thank thee that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And Lord, as the challenge has gone out this evening, we are very conscious that there may be some amongst us who are strangers to grace and to God, who have sat under the faithful ministry of our pastor for many, many years. And this evening they find themselves without God and without hope in this world. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt burden their hearts this evening. Bring them under old-fashioned conviction of sin, we pray.
and grant that the cry might go up from this house, says, what must I do to be saved? We pray that thou wilt continue to bless the faithful ministry of our pastor, and grant unto us now, one and all, the blessing of God which maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. For we ask these things in the Saviour's name. Amen.